Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey everybody, it's me, Josh, and for this week's SYSK Selects, I've chosen How Foot Binding Worked. It's about an unusual practice that was tradition for about 1,000 years in China, and it's just absolutely fascinating. Were we a little judgier than usual in this episode? I would say that's a fair assessment, but hopefully you won't judge us too harshly and instead just enjoy this episode because it's a pretty good one. Take care.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. Jerry's over there. And it's time for Stuff You Should Know, everybody. So settle down.
Buckle in. Get ready. Hey, congratulations to Kristen Bell. Stuff You Should Know celebrity fan Kristen Bell and her husband Dak Shepherd had their baby.
Oh, hey, congratulations.
It's a big congratulations to you. And I don't know if Mr. Shepherd listens.
I thought you were going to congratulate her on a Kickstarter movie.
Oh, in the Veronica Mars movie?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. My wife is very much looking forward to that.
Yes. And your wife is looking forward to meeting the baby. She's on her way right now.
Kristen Bell's locking the doors. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What started out as a small fascination with their show ended in tragedy.
A dangerous made-for-TV movie obsession.
Anyway, just wanted to say congratulations.
Yeah, that's nice of you, Chuck.
Sure.
I got no congratulations over here.
Yeah, interesting that I tied that to this podcast on, like, female torture, essentially.
Do you think there's something to that?
No.
Okay, good.
Well, we live in a world now where we don't have to worry about, although I think they had a son, where any little baby's feet being binded, or I guess not babies, but 4 or 5 year olds.
Or bound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bound? Binded?
Bound.
Okay.
Because the feet were bound, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think we should explain to everybody what we're talking about?
Foot binding?
Yeah. I'm glad you you congratulated Kristen Bell because I didn't really have much of an intro for this one.
Okay, good.
Because it's just so fascinating. I feel like we should just kind of dive right in.
Yeah, fascinating and horrible and like oddly impactful in areas I never would have considered.
Yeah. So we should say that over the course of about 1,000 years... from roughly 970 till about the 1950s, like almost on the dot 1,000 years.
Yeah.
About 3 billion women in China bound their feet to basically train them to become small and pointy in a really bizarre custom that just kind of came out of nowhere and stuck around again for about 1,000 years.
Voluntarily deforming their feet.
Well, at the very least, their mothers and grandmothers voluntarily deformed their feet for them.
Good. Yeah, it's a very good point, actually.
But at some point, they had to take over, and I guess then it became voluntary.
Well, sure. Well, we'll get to all that.
Okay.
Spoilers abound.
So, basically, this was purposeful deformation of the human foot, the human female foot, in order to attract men.
Yeah.
It was a standard of beauty, a bound foot. And we'll describe it in a minute. But the idea, the whole thing kind of came from, they think about, like I said, 970 AD, in the court of an emperor named Li Yu. And Li Yu had a favorite girlfriend.
Ballerina girl?
Yeah, and apparently he saw her dancing once on a golden lotus pedestal, because everything was made of gold back then in China.
Sure.
And she had her feet kind of wrapped up, I guess like a ballerina or something.
Yeah.
And he apparently got very, very excited at this. Yeah. Visibly excited. So much so that the other ladies of the court noticed this.
Wait, did you say visibly excited?
Visibly excited.
Okay.
Yes, if you know what I mean.
Really?
I would imagine.
Okay.
Hey, this guy's been dead 1,000 years. Like, all slander and defamation is, like, out the window.
Sure. It's like it was a rocking time. It was the Southern Tang Dynasty. Like,
it was.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it made Caligula look like watching it as an adult.
Yeah, boring.
Yeah. So, really, Li Yu was very much entranced by this enough that other women in the court noticed it, and they started wrapping their feet as well.
Yeah.
And it just kind of took off from there, and it took a weird turn pretty early on.
Well, what's the turn?
Well, the turn is originally, apparently, the woman who started this whole thing just kind of wrapped her feet in bandages.
Yeah.
To I guess.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. That turn.
A literal turn.
Yeah. Well, it became a status thing at first because wealthy women did it. And then it sort of spread, and it also would end up preventing women from doing like manual labor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not prevent, but it made it tougher. So it was sort of a status thing that meant like if you had the bound feet, you're like, not out there working in the fields.
Yeah. I don't even have to throw a hoe.
But then it spread throughout China, and only a few places. Actually, it was more than this article led on. I did some more research on that.
Uh-huh.
I saw like where 50 to 60% of the women ended up binding their feet in China.
Mm-hmm.
And this says like 100% except in these provinces.
Well, I think they were saying about close to 100% of the higher classes.
Okay.
But yeah, there was...
I guess that makes sense.
So maybe about half of the Chinese population total?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
So the strange turn it took, though, was to go from simply wrapping their feet to actually the binding process, which is malforming your feet at a young age, like 4 to 7 years old,
yeah,
for life, to where when your shoe is off, it looks like you're wearing your foot looks like a high heel.
You're disfigured.
Yeah.
You can't walk very well. You can't work in the fields.
Yeah.
And your foot has been brought to a point, basically, that's ideally 3 inches long. 3 inches. Like, that's it. And it's pointed.
Yeah.
And you do this by training your foot and your bones to deform.
Yeah, and when I say it looks like a high heel, like, your foot looks like a shoe. Like, the heel is separate from the rest of the foot
in
a big block that looks like the heel of a shoe, and the foot is permanently arched and pointy, and the toes are curled under, and it's just, if you look up pictures of this, it's horrific looking.
Yeah, and it was so entrenched in the Chinese culture that when it was outlawed for, I guess, the first time in 1912... it continued on, and it took the communists taking over to really get rid of it. And foot binding went the way of disco by just practical necessity. Women had to work in the field, and if you had bound feet, well, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, well, the end of it, should we talk about the end now or should we do it later?
Let's do it now.
Okay.
Let's just mess with the structure.
The end of it, there were a lot of factors at play. One was Western missionaries came over there for the first time,
mm-hmm,
and said, yeah, you know, this is really not what the rest of the world is doing. And it doesn't make you look good, by the way. Social Darwinists got on it and were like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to survive as a country because like half of our population is hobbled, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is going to be really bad for business one day. And so they mounted like a real campaign, like an education campaign, which is really unusual back then. And they had three phases to it. One was that it made you look bad and look strange to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Two, that taught the advantages of having normal feet, like walking without pain.
Right.
And then they formed natural foot societies where people would pledge not to do this to their daughters or allow their daughter to marry a son or allow their son to marry a girl who had bound feet.
Huh.
Because that was one of the big deals. If you didn't have bound feet, then guys would just pass you over.
Right.
So that's what it took to finally like eradicate it.
When was that?
That was
Was that after the 1912 outlaw or communism?
No, it was leading up to that. So okay. 1912 was when it was formally outlawed.
But oh, gotcha.
They had government inspectors that would come around and make sure that you weren't binding feet any longer.
Right.
And they would like hide girls if they still wanted to. So it's like really oppressive and weird.
Yeah, because that campaign that you just described is basically point for point trying to undo 1,000 years of custom.
Yeah.
Like if you had unbound feet, like natural feet, you were considered a freak. You were ugly. There was something wrong with you. And even more to the point, no man would marry you.
Yeah.
Because bound feet were so idolized in Chinese culture that if you were just totally plain or even horrendously ugly in every other way, but had really knockout bound feet,
yeah,
like that was enough for you.
You were a butterfoot.
You're going to do pretty good. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe now, but when you see these photos and like the x-rays and stuff, it's just like total deformation.
Yeah. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. You start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
So let's talk about this. There's an actual process, fairly straightforward, although extremely painful and dangerous. If you, like, I think you said you grab like your 4-year-old daughter, and you say,
"It's time.
Prepare for a lifetime of pain and suffering.
Right.
Starting now.
Right.
And you take her feet and you soak them in hot water for a few hours.
Yeah, in animal blood too.
Oh yeah, what did that do?
Same thing. Softened you up.
Okay. So like that was the whole purpose of the soaking was to soften the skin, make it more pliable. And I imagine the muscles too.
Yeah.
And then after the soaking, you would scrape away any dead skin. And then after that, their toenails were clipped, you know?
Super short.
So there's still kids are like, okay, I don't really like the toenail clipping part, but the foot soak more than makes up for it.
Right.
And boy, do I really, it turns out I like animal blood. Soaking my feet in it.
Yeah.
And then either their mom or maybe a learned woman in the village would say, all right, now we're going to start bending your foot.
Yeah. I imagine these ladies too, if they were the village lady that did it, they probably didn't take much guff.
No, probably not.
You know, they probably didn't mess around. I imagine they came in there and just sort of took care of business. Like they've heard it all before.
Right. But you know? For as grisly and grotesque a procedure, it's actually a delicate procedure too, because if you can wrap your mind around this, there's ways to do it wrong. that can lead to problems.
That's a good point.
There's actual risk factors. So the one other thing I left out was they sprinkle talc in there to keep it from perspiring because you want it to be dry.
Right.
And then they start bending things, right?
Yeah, well, then the cotton comes out. The bandage is about 2 inches wide, about 10 feet long. And they would soak those in the hot water and blood and herbs as well because they want those to shrink up. It's all about shrinking. They want those to shrink up after they're applied to the feet.
Right.
And then the old lady comes up and she folds the little four toes that were just clipped, not the big toe, under as far as she can and then starts to do little figure eights to keep them in place. You leave the big toe exposed.
She just figure eights with the bandages.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you leave the big toe exposed and the heel exposed and you just cinch those little front toes under. They break the toes. It breaks the foot bones. It sounds horrific because it is.
Right. And it brings the heel closer toward the ball of the foot. So the point of your feet is now your big toe.
Mm-hmm.
The slightly wider part behind it is the ball of your foot. And then behind that is your heel. And underneath it all are your four poor, poor little toes.
Yep. And the top of your foot is at this really unreasonable, odd-looking arch.
Right.
And it, because like I said, looks like you're in a high heel.
Yeah, by making it arched, you're allowing that distance that was once between the ball of the foot and the heel to go up rather than between the two. So you're bringing them together. And so all this has just been done to a four-year-old. Four-year-old's probably crying in pain. And after you finish with the bandages, the old lady or the mom would probably sew them.
Yeah.
Because especially if you're dealing with a four-year-old, it's going to try to get these things off. And then they say, all right, start walking.
Yeah, they put a little shoe on there. And the first steps with these things, and I imagine many steps afterward, are excruciatingly painful.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. Here's the craziest part, if you ask me. You do this every day for years.
Yeah, well, every couple of days.
Okay, every day or every other day is what
I'm
I got.
Trying to diminish it, yeah.
For a couple of years, it takes a couple to a few years for these things to be fully deformed into what are called lotus petals.
Yeah.
Or new moons or whatever.
You because it's a bandage, you know, you unbind and they actually would like knead the broken foot to keep it broken.
Right.
And dry it all out real good because infection, like the toes would cut into the foot if they weren't clipped properly. So infection and gangrene was too tight. All big threats to like losing their feet.
Right. Because if you wrap them too tight, they can become gangrenous because you get gangrene, which is a massive loss of dead tissue due to poor circulation. So the foot could just fall off. And like you were saying, if you don't clip the toenails, Chuck, like you have to do that every day.
Oh, yeah.
Or every time you unwrap and then wrap your feet. And then even worse than that, if you didn't wrap them pretty quickly after you bathed them every day or other day, they could start to lose their shape, which apparently was as painful as the initial foot binding procedure.
Yeah, like once your foot has started to take shape, if you wanted to say, no, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, it was just as painful for the foot to undo itself because it's already like malformed.
But there was, like, you didn't think that. I think once this happened to you from your mom or whatever, and you grew a little older and you started to take over for yourself, and you were bathing and wrapping your own feet every other day, you understood why you were doing this. Because foot binding was so important that you could be just completely poverty-stricken, and some rich dude would still be like, I like your feet a lot.
Yeah, and those are like 2.5 inches.
Yeah, I can't even breathe right now because your feet are so deformed that I want to marry you.
It's so weird.
Yeah. So there's a...
And beyond being wrong and gross and oppressive and all that stuff, it was just so odd to me that was like a turn on.
Yeah, and it was a turn on. Like foot binding was highly, highly erotic.
I mean, guys like nice feet. Trust me, I get that.
Right.
But these deformed, I just don't get it.
But this was pretty much a national foot fetish.
Yeah.
And it was nationalized. It was cultural. And it was extraordinarily widespread. Like we said, about 3 billion women over the course of 1,000 years bound their feet.
Yeah. And it had a lot of odd effects, side effects that went along with it.
Yeah. When 3 billion people do something that hobbles them, there are going to be some weird repercussions.
Yeah, that you don't think about. One thing it definitely did was it fostered dominance over women because of the simple fact that if a woman's being beaten, she can't run away. A woman can't travel very far, period. So they're going to hang around their village and their house. Mm-hmm. And so it just, you know, it's like hobbling somebody.
Right.
All of a sudden, they can't get around as well. So they're just dependent on you.
Right. And they really aren't traveling much. Not a lot of traveling going on when your feet are bound. And then also the fact that they have women with bound feet had trouble walking meant that the architecture of China kind of was created to help this out. Like they had to lean on windows or walls, I mean.
Yeah.
So buildings were built close together so the average woman could you know, lean on a wall while she was walking.
Yeah, and there weren't a lot of six-story walk-ups in ancient China.
Man, that would have been cruel.
Everything was one story as a result. So it had a weird impact on the architecture. And what else? Colonization?
Yeah, that was a really big one.
That was surprising.
Yeah, you know, most people realize that China didn't do a lot of exploring while the rest of the world was. It just kind of isolated itself and shut itself off. And one of the reasons given for that was that the women were footbound.
Yeah.
And they couldn't travel like women in other countries who could walk normally did. So with the Chinese women unable to travel and I guess see the sights, their men didn't want to leave them, so they stayed at home.
Yeah.
And actually, the areas that didn't practice foot binding are the ones that actually did go out and colonize other places like the Philippines.
Right.
They were southern China. Yeah, or the Old West.
Like every great Old West show has like the one Chinese immigrant family.
With the ponytails.
Yeah. The article points out, like, we're being hard on it because it's easy to look today at some antiquated practice as really cruel and unusual and weird. Mm-hmm. But at the time, the women, you know, wanted their feet bound. There were great bonds between the generations because it was such a cultural thing between the women.
Oh, yeah.
They would sew their shoes together. I listened to this one NPR Fresh Air that interviewed some of these old Chinese ladies that still, you know, are some of the last surviving ones.
Yeah.
And a couple of them said, you know, I really regret it now. It's been a lifetime of pain. But most of them said, no, we wanted to do it. And I'm very proud of the fact that we did this.
Yeah. And these are women who are confronted with the outside world and they still feel pride about their bound feet. You can imagine how much pride a woman had in her bound feet while it was the norm, you know, because it was basically the norm in China, and these women weren't going out anywhere else. So if you had really nice bound feet, that was a huge point of pride for you.
So one of the other weird things we need to talk about is sexy time.
Yeah.
Because we talked about foot fetishes and things, but it really, like, something happened in the water at this time where Chinese men really, really got into it. And they would take the shoe off and these odd deformed feet, and they would, like, do weird things like drink the water that they bathe their feet in or put nuts between the toes and eat the nuts from their toes and just really odd things.
I also read that it became another orifice, I guess, if you can imagine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And even outside of that, I guess one of the more normal things to do was to bury your face in the center of the bottom of the foot and really get like a good whiff
motorboat.
Of it.
Yeah.
No, motorboat. No, to smell it.
Gotcha.
And then, Chuck, we should point out that if you're doing that, if you're burying your face in the deformed foot of a foot-bound woman, one of the things that happens pretty commonly when your feet are bound is that they develop pustules that break and stink. And so there is I read one guy, a contemporary report from several centuries ago, saying, like, there is no other smell like it in the world.
Nothing as sexy as a deformed foot with leaking stinky pustules.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So, there was a definite fetish that grew up around it. There was at least one sex manual released with, I think, 48 different things to do with a,
a
bound foot. Yeah.
Wow.
The shoes, we didn't talk about the shoes. But they play a role in that eroticism as well.
About the strengthening of the muscles? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a big part, yeah.
Yeah, apparently there was a theory, at least, that because they had to walk so funny and oddly, that their vaginal muscles were extra strong and thus more pleasurable to the man.
Right.
So.
And then, so the average woman with foot-bound shoe, or with bound feet, I'm sorry, everybody, she had at least four pairs of shoes. You had to, or else like there was no point.
Oh, sure.
In having bound feet, you had to have one for each season. Ideally, you had at least four pair per season, so 16. Some women had hundreds of these.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they were designed to really like show off, like, hey, look at my bound feet, buddy. You know, that's what they were there for. But there was one specific one that were always red. They were your wedding shoes.
That's right.
And inside, there was erotic embroidery,
yeah,
which the husband, the new husband, and the new wife would look at and like try out together. It's kind of an instruction manual for the bride,
yeah,
by her mother or the women of the town. Like, just do this. Here's a picture of what you're supposed to do tonight.
Yeah, and slippers, period, I think, were just, it was almost like the lingerie of the time.
Yeah.
Because they would, the bedroom slippers were more like embroidered, like more sexily as well,
right,
than just your average, like, you know, I got to go to the shop and pick up some rice shoes, yeah, you know.
So the Chinese communists came along, Mao and his comrades, and said, you know what? You're a woman. We don't care. Get to work digging ditches. And, oh, your bound feet hurt you? Well, I guess you're going to starve because we give food based on how much work you did.
Yeah.
And if you don't do the work, you're going to starve to death. That led to the real conclusion of foot binding. And apparently today they say with great authority that no one does it any longer.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that it completely died out, because
you'd think there'd be like
some
few
remote
families,
like, yeah,
here or there, but yeah.
Yeah,
I
the
mean,
tide
it's
has turned.
Possible.
Well, welcome to the modern age, is what I say.
Isn't that just a bizarre, strange chapter, 1,000-year chapter in one of the most populous nations on the planet's history?
Totes.
And very few people know about it.
Yeah.
Well, now a lot more people do.
That's right.
You got anything else?
No, you know, you can't like, there's no place we can direct people to voice their outrage because it doesn't happen anymore.
No, but I'm sure we're going to get a lot of suggestions for female genital mutilation, and we should probably do that one. Female circumcision.
We haven't done that?
No, we did male circumcision. I don't think we talked about female.
I think we like mentioned it and said we'll do that later.
Oh, well.
There you have it.
We'll do it again.
Okay.
So if you want to learn more about foot binding and see some pictures of some unshod bound feet,
ooh,
You can type foot binding in the search bar at howstuffworks.com and it'll bring up this article. And I said search bar, which means it's time for a message break. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva Presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva Presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
Now listener mail, right?
That's right. I'm going to call this, we're plugging something.
Okay.
And when we ask to plug things, we get a lot of people write in for like good charities. And we can only do a certain amount of them. Otherwise, we'd be reading charity plugs all the time. So apologies to those who don't get theirs read. But this is from Kate Habenicht. She said, don't worry about saying my last name wrong. No one does.
If you just did, you get a fruit basket. I demand one.
Habenicht. It's got to be German.
That's good stuff.
She lives in Bozeman, Montana. She says it's the most beautiful place on earth. And she's just been listening for a few months because her brother Jack is awesome and turned her on to it.
Way to go, Jack.
So during Listener Mail, guys, you supported some really awesome charities and groups that try to make the world a better place. A friend of mine works for such a place. It's a coffee brewing company called Brownwater Coffee. Which got started here in Bozeman a few years ago and is now based in Denver. The great thing about these guys is that 15% of their profits go directly to getting clean water to those who need it, hence the great double meaning of the name Brown Water.
Oh, wow.
They're also a small company with only a handful of employees, but so far have done an amazing job. Not only is it a great cause, but their package design is awesome. And I can say that because I'm a recent grad of graphic design from Montana State University. Go Bobcats. The coffee's fantastic. And actually, it's really some of the best I've ever had. So she highly recommends
it. No, seriously.
They sell it in shops mostly in the Northwest at the moment, so unfortunately you won't be able to get your hands on it. But if you send me an address, I would be more than happy to send some along.
Do they sell it online?
You would think so.
Sell it online.
She said check them out on Facebook. Soon they will have their website back up and running after a quick redesign. So maybe
that's the deal.
I'd be ecstatic if you mentioned them on the show. Shout out to Ricky, owner and founder, and Katie, graphic designer, and Stevie, who is the master brewer at Brownwater Coffee.
So hopefully by the time this comes out, they'll have their website up and running. So I imagine if you search for Brownwater Coffee, it would come up, right?
I would think in this day and age, you've got to be able to find something out online.
I would think so, too.
By the time this comes out.
Yeah.
So get with it, Brownwater Coffee, if you haven't already. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, thanks for writing in, Kate. That's pretty awesome of you. I feel like they owe you some coffee or something for that.
Sure.
If you have a awesome nonprofit organization, charity, that we can help out by giving a plug, you can send stuff to our Twitter handle, the @ SYSK podcast, all one word. You can join us on facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow and check out our website. It's got some good stuff on it. It's called stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.